Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Everyone, it's Sam Crowley. Welcome back, Saturday Nation, to the Everyday Saturday podcast, the number one motivational podcast on the planet. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, we're launching a new series called Saturday Stories, where we highlight just everyday people doing extraordinary things, unusual things. The bottom line is they're living out their passion. They're excited. Whether they're monetizing it or not, it doesn't really matter. It just means that actually somebody is getting off their rusty duff and doing something that they actually like to do and having a good time doing it. So today I've got a guest by the name of Mr. Gunnar Munson. Welcome, Gunnar, to the Everyday Saturday podcast.
Ace, thanks for having me, Sam. Great to be here.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. So far, so good. It's sunny in Oregon, so that's always a plus.
You know, that's one state I've never been to.
Well, come on up. We'll go look for Bigfoot.
Can we go Bigfoot hunting, seriously?
We could.
Oh, my God. That would get me to Oregon. Gunnar, we just gave away your Saturday, so we're 30 seconds into the interview. But this, guys, let me tell you, you're listening to the Everyday Saturday podcast. We're talking to Gunnar Munson. Gunnar, I don't want to tell what he does because I wouldn't even do it justice, but it has something to do with chasing Bigfoot, which fascinates the living crap out of me. Like, I was excited for this interview today. And he's got a podcast on iTunes. You can check it out, Monster X Radio. Go ahead and give him a 5-star rating. Show him some Saturday love. And Gunnar, look, I just want to turn it over to you. I let the cat out of the bag. You're chasing Bigfoot. You're in Oregon. You're crazy. You're nuts. Half the audience already thinks right now we got to go catch you and put you in an insane asylum.
Well,
what do you do, man?
No, well, first of all, I've been interested in Bigfoot for a long time. Like when I was a kid, I always kind of liked mystery stuff. And yeah. Growing up in Oregon, of course, there was conversation about Bigfoot. I always thought Bigfoot was just kind of lived in Oregon. And, you know, I grew up and kind of put it away for a long time. But right, not too long after Al Gore invented the internet, yes. I got on there and one of the first things I looked up was Bigfoot, and it kind of reignited the passion that I had for the mystery of it. And it's grown. I have a coffee company actually that's called the Sasquatch Coffee Company. And I do a podcast with a buddy of mine named Shane Corson. Every week called Monster X Radio. And we talk about Bigfoot, what's going on in Bigfoot research. We interview folks that have had some kind of encounter. We talk to people that are scientists that are looking into the mystery. So yeah, it's something that I am passionate about. You can tell when I start talking faster. And
which is awesome. But let me back up. People are like, how the hell Sam connect with a guy that researches Bigfoot? Tell people where we met.
Well, we met actually in Orlando at an event, and you were speaking, and we were talking about podcasts. So you're one of the best, and I listen to it all the time. So you said, hey, come on, and I thought it'd be cool to chat with you about it.
And so I'm calling you crazy. That's a first, because normally I'm the one being called crazy. So let me just ask you this question. And this is a legitimate question. It's not, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. Do you really believe in Bigfoot?
I'm at about 98.5%. You know, I leave 1.5% because I refer to it as the confirmation experience. Somebody who's actually had a sighting or I've had some weird stuff happen in the woods. Rocks.
Share it, man. Share it.
Yeah, no, I mean, rocks.
What's the weirdest thing?
being trailed down the a trail in the dark with some weird thumping sound that we couldn't identify, following two grown men that are, you know, armed. That was pretty weird, pretty trippy. But sitting around a campfire and having a loud crash when a friend of mine was doing a chimp sound and we'd heard some like brush. You listen for what's moving in the brush. But the next day we found like a rock about size of a baseball behind her chair. And that was pretty trippy. So we've had, but right now, one of the most interesting things that's going on in regards to Bigfoot is a couple years ago, a timber cruiser was working up in Washington and was in an area that hadn't been logged for like 50 years and in an area that's really hard to get to, and came upon like these nests on the ground that look like big bird nest, for lack of a better analogy. But he got a hold of a friend of mine that runs something called the Olympic Project up in Washington that I'm a part of. And for the last 2 years, they've been looking in this area, and the best comparison would be a gorilla's nest. And these nests, some of these nests, I've been to the site where these nests are, and some of them are huge. And now the science has kind of caught up with this project, and they have something now called environmental DNA or eDNA, where you can take like soil and I call it sifting, but you can basically get all the test soil for all the organisms that were in that soil for any period of time. So now what has happened is some samples have been taken of these nests, and that's the next step. Is there's a scientist in New York, Todd Disatel, that is going to be processing these for eDNA. I mean, you could do the same thing with a pond. You can take pond water now, and you can find all the aquatic life that was ever in that pond.
Wow. So let me get back to that in just a second. We're talking to Gunnar Munson, host of the Monster X Radio podcast on iTunes. He is chasing Bigfoot. He's 98.5% sure that it is. It a he, she, or an it, by the way? How do I refer to Sasquatch?
Well, it's a species. It'd be like, there's some, you think that, you know, I'm in a lunatic fringe. We're in a fringe topic anyway. And there's the fringer part of Bigfoot, where people think that they're, you know, jumping through portals, and I hang out with people that think that we're looking for an animal, just an undiscovered species.
Oh, so there's more than one. Not the same guy that's been, you know, where my first indoctrination into Bigfoot was the $6 million man.
That's funny, because I just posted that in our group yesterday.
Really?
Steve Austin fighting Bigfoot.
That episode scared the crap out of me. I remember it was the mid-70s. I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and I didn't sleep for I think it was one of those. The $6 million man was on Sunday night. You're probably maybe around my age, right?
Yeah, I'm probably a little.
I'm 49, and so I was born in 68, right around the mid-70s. $6 Million Man was my favorite show, and something strikes me like that Bigfoot episode was one of those ones to be continued, which back in the 70s, all we did was sit around and watch TV, and when it got cliffhanger on the last episode, you're like, oh my God, I gotta wait till next Sunday, you know, that was my first look at anything that had anything to do with Bigfoot. I just remember not sleeping for a few nights. But what do you do? I mean, people got to be wondering, is this your day job? How do you make money? What do you do by day?
Well, by day, actually, I used to be a grocer until mid-June, and I sold the grocery store, and now I'm actually doing the Sasquatch Coffee Company full-time. So I'm building up a coffee brand. So we've got it in, you know, you can find it around Oregon mostly right now. So there's a few places outside of the state.
That's interesting. Where do you get your coffee from?
I have a roaster that does it for me, and we then promote the brand. So
in the States, roaster in the States.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. How'd you get into that? Like why did you want to start a coffee company?
Well, it's, with the grocery store, I had a gal that worked at the store that brought me this coffee one day, and like, this is really good coffee. We should carry it. And so it was good coffee. It was great coffee. And so I asked the roaster if they would be interested in doing a Bigfoot coffee. And he said, yeah. And so we started doing it. And we've been doing it for going on 4 years now.
That's pretty interesting. So you're an entrepreneur.
I am.
Yeah. Entrepreneur that chases Sasquatch, which is a species that lives. Is this indigenous? You don't have me convinced yet that the species exists. So I'm not going there with you right now. I'm not saying by the end of the show, you're not going to have me convinced. But is this a species indigenous to the U.S. or worldwide, in your opinion?
Actually, pretty much worldwide. There's stories from all around the world. There's Australia has something called the Yowie. China has something called the Wyren. Russia has, I forget the name of the Russian one at the moment, but there's, yeah, pretty much anywhere that there's substantial woods, there's stories about hairy men, you know, mountain devils and beasts. So,
yeah.
By the way, I don't feel it's like it's my job to convince anybody that they exist. Like I said, I don't. They either do or they don't. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I'll be honest with you. I don't know anything about it. So for me, I'm not going to sound pretentious to say, oh, I'm, you know, this is a joke. I always leave my mind open, and I don't ever leave anything out, I guess is my point. Cause mm-hmm. I've never been in the woods. I've never, you know, I grew up in Western Pennsylvania. When we would walk through the woods, we'd see deer. And I mean, the craziest thing you'd ever see was a bear. Mm-hmm. Can any of this be explained, the things that you're talking about, that you heard footprints behind you and a rock move? Can any of that be explained by another animal, like a bear or something in the woods, or no?
Well, bears don't throw rocks, so that kind of limit. A lot of what we call the evidence that has to do with Bigfoot is exclusionary, which means that it's not anything else that's known. So, you know, you find something that's a large foot-shaped impression in the ground that doesn't, you know, it doesn't match a bear. It doesn't match any known animal. Some of the behaviors, you know, there's some audio. We actually have collected a lot of audio evidence, recordings of stuff that doesn't match any known animal. And you do that by actually looking at audio. You take the audio and put it in a program so you can actually see the different levels, and you can then, there's actually a database that you can compare what you're looking at to see if it fits within the range of a known animal. So that's the interesting part of audio. I mean, obviously if you're sitting in the woods with people, anybody can interpret what they're hearing to be anything. And there is some of that in the field of Bigfooting. There's some people that every bump in the night is Bigfoot. And I'm pretty pragmatic about, like, I can't attribute anything that I've ever experienced to Bigfoot. I just have it. I have a basket of interesting stuff that has happened. And I know a lot of people that have. In fact, my co-host Shane had a sighting in the Mount Hood National Forest several years back. So
what's that mean? What's that mean, a sighting?
A sighting. He was in a tent. And they had some weird stuff going on, branches breaking and branches being hit against trees. And he peeked out of his tent and saw a Bigfoot looking around, peeking around a tree. And the fire was just barely going. So he got this kind of silhouette of this large two-legged creature looking around a tree at him.
Wow. So has anyone, Shane or anybody that you know, ever taken a picture? I mean, ever?
There's some fuzzy pictures out there that, I mean, the most famous, there was a film in 1967 in Bluff Creek, California, that was taken by two gentlemen, Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin. We're coming up on the 50th anniversary of that, October 20th, I think it is. And that's the most clear footage of what looks to be, in that case, a female Bigfoot.
I think we've all seen that. Did you say Patterson and Gimlin? Is that the one you said?
That's correct.
Yeah, I think that we've all seen that one. If you want to Google that, you guys that are listening to the show and you have a chance online, that's the one I'm familiar with as well.
Right.
And that's not Photoshopped or just some guy running around in a gorilla outfit. And I'm saying it seriously. I'm not joking.
No, it's been really put under a lot of scrutiny. People at the time, if you think back to 1967, the best ape costumes were Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And they've talked to the you know, special effects people and makeup artists of that time, and they said they couldn't replicate this. So well, 50 years later, it didn't definitively prove it. So best case, it's a really interesting film of a Bigfoot that didn't prove that they exist. So we're still looking.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, if you go to Wikipedia and scientists discount the existence of Bigfoot and consider it to be a combination of folklore, misidentification, and a hoax rather than a living animal, they note the lack of physical evidence after centuries of investigation. So when you read that type of stuff, does that give you more energy to go after this, or get you like, ah, geez, come on, man, this is, you know, do you ever think, well, maybe the scientists that are discounting this, maybe they're right? Or you're still 98.5% of the way there. That's probably my guess, right?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't discourage me. When people come in, I owned a grocery store and I was really open about my interest in Bigfoot. I was selling Bigfoot coffee and Bigfoot t-shirts and stuff in the store. So I'd have people come in and ask me about it. But a lot of, I always, when a skeptic, someone who, you know, says, ah, come on, that's just malarkey. I just say that, if one piece of evidence, one sighting, you know, one footprint, there's hair that's been found that doesn't match any known animal. If any one piece of evidence isn't fake, misidentified, or, you know, imagined, then there's something to it. And this has gone on for hundreds of years. You go back and look at the Native American, they all have stories about these creatures and interacting with them, and there's just too many. If you look at the evidence, most people don't give it any thought, but if you look at how many sightings are, there's sightings all the time. I run into people as often as not. When I had the store, I'd have people come and tell me their stories about, when I was a kid, you know, I saw something in the woods around here, and you know, that's interesting. Again, you know, what's going to take to prove they exist? Well, a specimen, alive or dead, or some kind of, you know, Jane Goodall long-term study where somebody interacts with them and is able to collect multiple pieces of DNA documentation. So far, that hasn't happened. If it was easy to do, apparently, you know, wouldn't still be looking.
So let me ask a question. Shifting back, I know we're going back and forth, but now that we're kind of winding it down, I want to make sure I ask you this question, because a lot of people listen to the show, they're entrepreneurs. And I'm curious, how long did you own your grocery store for?
Just shy of 19 years.
How'd you like that business?
It was fun. For the most part, it was fun. Yeah. It was, I like people. So a lot of people interaction and serving the community. It was a lot of fun.
Did you make a good chunk of change? Were you able to support yourself, your family, things like, was it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because the entrepreneur, when you think of grocery, that's old fashioned. I mean, that's brick and mortar. That's not, you know, running a website or doing affiliate marketing or anything like that. That's getting up, getting the product, doing inventory, meeting people, greeting people.
Stocking the shelves, yeah.
What was, give us an idea, what was one piece of maybe adversity or failure or some season of your life in those 19 years as a grocer where you had to overcome that and that challenge? Can you think of anything that jumps out? Maybe it was a financial thing.
There were times when business was tough. I mean, we went through a couple cycles of the economy not being good, and we're in a tourist area. So, I think that those are the first areas that are hit when the economy, you know, people don't have the money to spend like they did when the economy's good. And it wasn't always without its challenges. There were a lot of times where we were, you know, you struggle to get through the winter. You can't wait for summer to get here. So yeah, there was plenty of that.
Oh, wow. That's impressive. 19 years, because most businesses fail in the first year. You know, 9 out of 10 fail in the first year. And then the ones that make it, 9 out of 10 of those fail in the next 5 years. So that's part of the whole Saturday Stories podcast as well, is to highlight individuals that have stayed in the game long enough to realize success. Would you consider yourself financially well off or no?
Yeah.
That's good. Hey, and you know, I'm asking a question. You don't have to be humble about it. That's because to inspire people, to let them know that the longer you stay in the game, what do you think is the single greatest piece of advice you can give somebody who is looking to really go for their dream? You got maybe friends and family that are saying, are you sure you want to do that? Or why don't you just go get a job? Or why don't you do this? Be safe. What would be the biggest piece of advice, looking back on your life, that you would give somebody who's looking to get started and really go after their dream, but maybe they don't have a big bank account right now to do it? What would you say?
Just get started. I mean, that's follow your passion. Life is too short just to go do something that's drudgery to you, you know, that was part of the transition from, you know, being a grocery store owner was fun, but I really enjoy the Bigfoot thing. And, there's more passion when I talk about the Bigfoot. After a while, you know, 19 years, it gets to be pretty much doing the same thing. And at 53 years old, I'm now doing something that it's kind of a renewed passion. So it's, you know, get out there and go for it. Just, people are going to tell you that, you know, that they're going to express to you what they're comfortable with, what their level of comfort is. And you got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, going out and doing what makes you happy, what you're passionate about.
We'll end it right there. That's great. You got to get comfortable doing what's uncomfortable. That resonates with me, because I never want to be comfortable. I think my wife would like to be comfortable. That much I know. I think my spouse and my family would be happy to be, but they will be comfortable. I would never put my family knowingly in jeopardy or harm's way. But I sure do like squeezing the last bit of toothpaste out of the tube of life. And to talk to somebody that's out there, in one sense, you're an entrepreneur. You build up a brick and mortar business. You sold it. You're still a young guy. You're out there chasing your dream and your passion. And man, I hope you're the guy that actually gets the photo of Bigfoot. Would you come back and share it with us at least?
Oh, I would. Sure.
Gunnar, real quick, people listen to the show. They find you interesting. They find you really fascinating. How do they get a hold of you? How do they find out more about you, what you got going on? Where's the best place for them to find out more about Gunnar Munson?
Well, you can check out our website, which is monsterxradio.com. You can also find me at squatchcoffee.com. And we have a big Facebook group with Monster X Radio. We got about almost 11,000, 12,000 people in it. So come and join the crazy Bigfoot community. So
that's up. MonsterXRadio.com, right?
That is correct.
That's an impressive Facebook group. You manage that yourself?
Yeah.
That's impressive. That's good, man. This was fun for me. I really enjoyed this. This was certainly, I've never had this kind of an interview on my show in 12 years talking about Bigfoot, chasing and that type of stuff. Look, I appreciate the fact that people think you're crazy. That much I resonate with. And so I wish you all the best and keep going after your dream, man. This is a lot of fun.
Thanks, Sam.
All right, everybody. Hey, it's Gunnar Munson. Make sure you check him out. Go to monsterxradio.com. Hit him up on Facebook. If this is a topic that you're passionate about, I can't think of anybody better to connect with. That would be a lot of fun. Get in there with all the crazies, like Gunnar said. So Gunnar, all the best to you. Everybody else in Saturday Nation, have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.